You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Romans 14. I want to start a series that I've taught before, but it's been a few years. Something that's lacking sometimes in some churches, and sometimes traditional churches are, and I'm not against churches, we're for churches. You understand that? Sometimes this idea of traditional, meaning old line, older type churches, the old way of doing things, as it were. The old way of doing things at one time was the new way of doing things. So you should never discredit, you know, what good churches have brought to the world and to our culture. But cultures and customs change from time to time, and sometimes methods need to change, songs need to change, our approach need to change. The message never changes. So what we're talking about many times, we're saying, well, you know, we ought to get out of this kind of, you know, mode of teaching or this type of church that people have in their head and their mind that it should be. It probably did have its place at one time. It served a function. You know, we often talk about music and say, well, this newfangled music nowadays, you know, but 100 years ago, some of the hymns that we're singing now were newfangled songs. And if you'd lived 100 years ago, they were saying the same thing about those songs 100 years ago that we're saying about songs we're singing today. I mean, a lot of those old songs were just, some of them were actually barroom songs that they changed the words to because everybody knew the tune. Yeah. Amazing grace shall ever be my song of praise. For it was grace that bought my liberty. I will forever lift mine eyes to Calvary to view the cross where Jesus died for me. Y'all remember that song? And then it gets too high for me to sing the rest of it. But anyway, you know what that song? That was, oh, Danny boy. That's what that song was. And they changed it. They changed the words to it because everybody knew that song. They sang in all the bars. But they made a hymn out of it, you know. And people started singing it in church because they recognized the tune. And they made the words Christian, where people could worship. And that was very common. I mean, they did it back then. Of course, now we think of these, we ought to sing these old hymns, man. I mean, if it was good enough for Paul, it was good enough for us, you know. Well, Paul didn't sing those old hymns. Those hymns were created to reach a generation. And so we in our generation had to be aware of reaching our generation. And not throwing away all the old. There should be a mixture, and we should be aware of the need to minister to older, middle, and younger people, and so on and so forth. But nonetheless, times are changing. As long as we don't get in sin and get immoral, we should change to reach these people. Yes. Not morally, are you with me? Mm-hmm. Not the message. But there's a lot of things that do change, you know, in our method, our packaging, as it were. But one thing that is tried and true, and it's in the Bible, and I don't know how we missed it in many cases, in many places, in many traditions, in many churches, is that God is very serious about you and I having joy. Everybody say joy. That's amazing to me because I think in some cases we think of church in terms of being quiet and stoic and not being emotional and not say anything loud, not get excited. You know, let's just come and let's be still, let's be quiet, let's don't move. This is holy, as if holy were quiet. And yet we have many cases all through the Scripture when the holy presence of God came in, they begin to shout and they begin to praise and they begin to worship. I think anywhere Jesus was holy. Everywhere he was holy. And people got very excited when Jesus healed people, raised them from the dead. They went screaming and shouting and hollering and whoo! There was a lot of noise, a whole lot of shaking going on. But it was holy shaking. It was Holy Ghost shaking and shouting and so on and so forth. Romans 14, y'all found it? Did I tell you to turn there? Romans 14 is a classic verse. I always like to start this series out with this. And if we continue on this track and the Holy Ghost allows us to continue to do this, I'm going to teach several sessions on this, on joy, joy, joy. We need joy. I know there's times to mourn. I know we need to weep with those who weep. I know there are times of loss in our life that we need to grieve shortly, but we don't grieve as those that have no hope. We don't grieve forever. We don't pick up a spirit of grief. We don't live in grief. Grief is something temporary. Hallelujah. Joy is eternal. And for the most of our life, we should have the joy of the Lord on us. In fact, the Bible tells us the joy of the Lord is our strength. A merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth up the bones. You know, so if your spirit's broken and you haven't got joy in your heart, then it doesn't matter what anybody says or does. We can't help you. You got to get joy. You got to get joy inside, and it comes from God. And a merry heart does good like a medicine. See, I quoted that. That heals. It heals. You can get up if your attitude's right. You'll never get up if your attitude's wrong. Amen? So God works on the inside. He gets in the inside and creates joy and gives you vision and hope and purpose, and you can make it, hallelujah. The sun will shine again. The clouds will dissipate. You know, they will. The darkness will leave. Light will come. Gives you hope and gives you joy, and you can make it. You need that. In fact, all the days, the Bible says, he that is of a merry heart has a continual feast. Proverbs 15:15 tells us that. He that is of a merry heart has a continual feast. But then all the days of the afflicted are evil. That's what it goes on to say. In other words, if you just, in your spirit, you're just broken and destroyed in your spirit, then all your days are evil. You ever notice when something bad happens or sad happens, and you know, you're overwhelmed by the sadness of the moment, and you're just focused in on this problem, and you're just not happy, you know, just you're having a down day or a bad day or a loss in your family. The bluebirds can be singing in the trees and there's no joy. The sun can be shining, but it doesn't do anything for you because something inside's not right. See, there's nothing outside can change that. In fact, you're just completely unaffected by the outside because you have such sadness or emptiness or a void in here. But see, God wants to change that. He wants to put joy in here. And if you have enough joy in you, and if you understand what joy is about, that it comes from the Lord, hallelujah, that it's part of the package, it's part of the benefit of being saved, real joy, eternal joy, everything in this life will pass, everything in this life is temporary, praise God, we're going to live forever in glory, in heaven. We have every reason to shout, every reason to be excited, we're going to get out of this mess. When you've got that inside you, nothing outside will affect this joy that's deep down in you. Just like seemingly nothing outside can make you happy when you're sad inside. But when you get joy inside, hallelujah, nothing outside can affect that. We need to learn to live from the inside out. Joy is the serious business of heaven. God's very serious about you having joy. When you step into heaven, you're going to step into joy. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Heaven is a happy place. Heaven is a joyful place. Heaven is not a solemn place. Heaven is not a quiet place. Heaven is a place of activity, life, vibrant life, celebration, worship, praise, joy. People are smiling. They're dancing. They're shouting. They're enjoying life. They're experiencing full life, whole life, complete life. Nobody's sick. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you with me? No fire ants. No red bugs. No chiggers, no mosquitoes. The sun's not too hot, and the nights are not too cold. Hallelujah. I mean, you know, everything just perfect. Hallelujah. Are you out there? Romans 14:17 says, the kingdom of God, everybody say the kingdom. Now see, that's what's within us, the kingdom of God. This is God's kingdom, not the world's kingdom, not the United States of America. God bless our country. Thank God for our nation. But this is not about just one nation, one country, one kingdom, one regime, one domain. This is about God's kingdom, whom you and I are a part of which you and I are a part of, and what is in us, the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness. It's more than food on the table, and it's more than what you drink. It's more than natural things. It's more than success monetarily, although I believe in that. I believe God wants to bless you with that. No question he does. The promises are literally staggering when it comes to prosperity when you look in the Bible. But God wants your heart. Those are benefits of getting right with God and serving God and trusting God. Amen? But the kingdom of God is within. It's more than, those are just, you know, when we think about, I think sometimes, and I try to explain this, we sometimes think about the blessing of Abraham, we'll say, you know, Galatians 3:13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. For it is written, curses everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Often, if we're not careful, we'll talk about the blessing of Abraham being prosperity, but it's not. The blessing of Abraham was righteousness. It was being made right with God. You say, well, where does prosperity come in? Prosperity is a benefit of the blessing. But the blessing is being right with God. Are you with me? Now, see, this doesn't take away from prosperity because I believe in prosperity. Healing doesn't take away from that. The blessing of Abraham is not healing. The blessing of Abraham is not miracles. The blessing of Abraham is not answered prayer. The blessing of Abraham is righteousness. That's the whole point that Paul was making in Galatians 3 and, of course, Romans 4, where he talks about Abraham again. So I am now right with God. I am a recipient. I'm a partaker. I join with, partner with Abraham. And through Jesus Christ, I have the blessing of Abraham. I am now right with God. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah. I'm saved. My sins are forgiven. I'm washed in the blood. That's the blessing of Abraham. Now, there's a benefit to that. And the benefit of the blessing of Abraham, the benefit of righteousness, of being right with God, is prosperity. It is peace. Woo! Healing. Those are benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. You know what it says in Psalms 103? It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction and crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, and on and on and on. I mean, the good things of God, the blessings of God, those are the benefits. It pays to serve God. And if we'll serve him, and we're right with him, and we're right with the Lord, joy, it's just going to come. Hallelujah. Woo. Man, I'm right with God. That ought to get you excited. I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to live forever. Benefit of that, of course, would be joy. But Romans 14:17 says, for the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness. Love that. Righteousness, the ability to stand before God without any sense of fear or inferiority. In other words, I've been made right. And I'm not standing right before God because of what I did. I'm standing right before God because of what Jesus did. I'm standing right before God through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not going to heaven on my works. I'm not going to heaven on my goodness. I'm not going to heaven because of what I did. I'm going to heaven because of what he did. By grace are you saved through faith, not of yourself, not of works, lest any man should boast. Are you with me? We're saved by grace. We're saved by the works of Jesus. But righteousness is part of that gift. The kingdom of God is not material things, but the kingdom of God is righteousness. Righteousness. This is a kingdom of righteousness. I think anybody would agree with that. Most all churches would agree. That when it comes to God's, even Jehovah's Witnesses would agree with that. And I'm not advocating Jehovah's Witnesses, stay with me. But the kingdom of God is about righteousness. And if you hadn't been made righteous, you're not going to heaven. You say, well, how can I be righteous before such a holy God? Accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you'll become righteous. You'll take on not your own righteousness, but the righteousness of God, which comes through the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. When I accepted Jesus, I accepted all that he made available for me. And what he made available for me and what he paid for was my sin. He made available for me right standing with God. And ever since I accepted Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ, I have been made right with God and I am in right standing with him because of my faith in Jesus. That's good stuff. You know, I always like to say this, I'm not teaching on righteousness, but it still bears repeating because I think we have such a sense of inferiority and such a sense of sin. We're more sin conscious than we are righteous conscious. And we more unworthy conscious than we are worthy conscious. And we need to flip that switch. I mean, come on, man. You and I have been made holy. Not because of what I did, because of what he did. You and I have been made righteous. Not because of what I'm doing, but what he did. And we got to get this concept. If God were standing here, I mean, this almost sounds like blasphemy. But if God were standing here, he would be no more righteous than I am, stay with me, because I don't even have my righteousness, I have his. I mean, that's a hard saying when you think about it. You go, wow, that didn't sound right. Whoa, preacher. Don't blaspheme. Don't stand up there and blaspheme. I'm not. I don't have my righteousness. I have not mine own righteousness, but the righteousness of God, which comes through the faith, my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to heaven on God's righteousness, not mine. Woohoo! All of our righteousness is as filthy rags. Got to have something better than our righteousness. So we got His, amen? And we think about the kingdom of God, we think in terms of being right with God and, you know, going to heaven because our sins are forgiven and we've been saved, been born again, saved by grace, you know, and all those things. But, you know, it goes on. It says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace. Woohoo! Yeah. I like that one. Yeah, I can teach a whole series on that. Peace. I got peace. I got peace like a river. You know that song? I got peace like a river. I got peace like a river in my soul. I got peace like a river. I got peace like a river. I got peace like a river in my soul. Woo! I got joy like a fountain. Well, you know, anyway. I got peace. I'm at peace with God. I got peace in a world of tribulation. You know, Jesus told us there'd be tribulation. He said, be of good cheer. He said, I've overcome the world. In me, you have peace. He's the Prince of Peace. Yeah, we can have peace in a tribulating world. We can have a peace in a persecuting world. We can have peace in a turmoil, in a tragedy, in a crisis in our life. We can have peace because, hey, this peace we're talking about is, it comes from Jesus. It comes from our right standing with God. It comes from being saved. I have a calm about me I didn't used to have. I have a peace I didn't know anything about before I got saved. But now I am saved. Now I know Jesus as Lord and Savior. I have hope and I have peace. I can chill out. Amen? Instead of flip out. Because I got peace. And that's part of the kingdom. I mean, that's the kingdom you and I are in. This kingdom is known for righteousness, and I think everybody would agree. And that's probably paramount or first place when we think of what this kingdom's about. But then it's got to be peace too, because He's the Prince of Peace, and He's the God of all hope and comfort and peace. And, you know, peace is an attribute of this kingdom, a characteristic of this kingdom. You can be at peace because you're now in another kingdom. I love that. But then that next part we don't seem to make a lot of. You don't hear a lot about it, and you don't meditate a lot on it sometimes, but just as sure as I have been made the righteousness of God in Christ, and just as sure as I have peace in Jesus, this kingdom is also a kingdom of joy. Amen? Come on. Joy. I didn't write this. It says, the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy. Woohoo! Joy in the Holy Ghost. I love that. Joy in the Spirit of God, in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. I mean, the Spirit of God can move on you and cause joy to hit you. I mean, the glory boat could come all over you. You get Holy Ghost bumps all up and down your arms. I call them Holy Ghost bumps instead of Holy Goosebumps, you know. But joy can come, just joy. I've had it hit me before. Just hit me in the middle of a situation or a crisis or, you know, just joy, joy, joy from within, deep within. The joy of the Lord would touch my heart and change my life. And whoo, I have so much to be thankful for, so much to be grateful for, and so much to shout and rejoice about. Hallelujah. Joy, joy. I got joy. I got joy like a fountain. I better quit that. I'm going to run off. Anyway, kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. Well, you know, that's what the Holy Ghost does. He gives you joy. I've seen people so full of joy, the Holy Ghost comes on them. You know, the Holy Spirit just move on them and touch them and in the middle of a situation. Hallelujah. Just excitement and joy. And see, joyfulness. God's into joyfulness. He's in. The whole heaven is about joy. We just got such a wrong concept of God. You know, the Bible says in Psalms, 16:11? It says, in His presence is fullness of joy. Wow. I mean, what a scripture. Think about it. I mean, I like to get in the presence. I'll probably just fall out and pass out and go comatose, you know. That's kind of the way we think. I don't think you will. I think you may drop, and he'll pick you back up. But you'll have such a sense of burning, vibrant, fiery joy in his presence. You'll think, man, I never felt this good in all my life. Because that's what it's like to be in the presence of God. We often, you know, I don't know if we wonder much about being in his presence or think about what it's like, but I think a lot of what we've heard about being in his presence is wrong. The scripture is very plain. In his presence is fullness of joy. And when we enter heaven, it's going to be, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. One characteristic of heaven that the Bible tells us very plainly, John, he saw the new heaven and new earth in Revelation chapter 21 and chapter 22, and he said there will be no more sorrow there. He said there will be no more weeping. There will be no more dying. The former things are passed away and all things have become new. What's he talking about? Everybody's happy. It's joy from within. It's just a contagious joy that everyone has. I'm not talking about everybody laughing. I'm just talking about everybody's full of joy. Just joy, joy, joy. Woo. Good stuff, amen. That's the kingdom that we're in. It's a kingdom of righteousness. It's a kingdom of peace. And it's a kingdom of joy. God's serious about that. I think you ought to love coming to church. I think you ought to love coming to services. It's not some penance that you're doing for the week of sins that you committed. Well, I got to go to church, get right. Well, I hope you've been serving God all week long. I hope you look forward to coming to church. I hope you look forward to fellowshipping and seeing your brothers and sisters and worshiping the Lord, hallelujah, and hearing a good word that's going to stir you and charge you and challenge you and set you on your feet and get you on the right path, hallelujah, a place of joy. Church should be a place of joy. I love coming to church. I'm just, I guess, forever, eternally a church person now since I got saved. I just love church. I love God's people. I know last night we went, you know, to that I've said that two or three times, went to a banquet, a teacher's banquet at Faith Outreach Church. Pastor Rance Moore, who was here for 13 years, most of you know him, and he was our song leader for 13 years, and our youth leader and associate minister, and Tammy and him, they did everything in here. I mean, from children's church to youth to cleaning the church and everything, and of course now they've been pastoring for 13 years. But Brent and I just had such a good time over there last night, just fellowshipping and ministering. And then when it was all over, I think we stayed another 30 minutes talking and laughing in the parking lot and talking about God. And, you know, that's the way it should be. It should be that way, that we just love to get together. How beautiful it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. Woo, it's like the oil that comes down Aaron's beard. That's the anointing. It's like the dew on the mountains. That's freshness. There God commanded the blessing. Psalms 133 tells us that. There's nothing like being together with God's people, getting in the presence of God, having the anointing come upon us and wash us, and then stir on the inside of us that joy. Hallelujah. Nothing like it. Romans 15. You're in 14. Let's turn over one more chapter. Hallelujah. I didn't take but 25 minutes to get through the first verse. But you know, it does fly by when you're having fun, doesn't it? Romans 15, 13. And this is a verse I think we went over not too long ago. I was teaching something else. Now the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. There it is. A couple of commonality. There's some commonality there. It's a big word. Common ground between that verse and the other verse. Of course, the Holy Ghost, the power of the Holy Ghost, the place of the Holy Ghost. You know, the 14:17 says that it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. 15:13 says that fill you with joy and peace in believing through the power of the Holy Ghost. So this is something supernatural. It's not natural. It doesn't come through experience. It doesn't come from things that happen to you. You know, if I could just have more money, I'd have joy. If I just get out of this mess, I'd have joy. Or if I get this problem solved, I have joy. Actually, joy didn't come that way. Joy comes from within. It comes from the Holy Spirit. And the good part about that is that when things are going right, you can have joy. But when things are going wrong, you can still have joy. That's right. Amen? Because joy didn't come from things. It comes from Him. Now, I know you're thinking, hey, you give me $1 million, you just see if I don't have some joy. Yeah, but that's not permanent. That's just a temporary thing. Are you with me? I know people get excited to win the lottery, but then it'll all settle down after a while, you know. But this kind of joy, this is different. This is supernatural. This is by the power of the Holy Spirit. Good stuff. Amen. But notice here some instructions. Let's take it apart and eat this and chew on this. The God of hope. Aren't you glad he's a God of hope? He's not a God of sorrow. He's not a God of despair. He's not a God of going under, a God of failure. He's a God of victory. He's a God of hope. Hallelujah. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Well, now there's some instruction. In believing. In believing. You know, we don't have joy, I think, many times because we don't believe. We don't believe it's going to get better. We don't believe God's going to come through. We don't believe what God says about our situation. We believe, and this is the lie of crisis, the lie of pain, the lie of disease, the lie of the attack of the devil. The lie is that whatever's going on right now is going to keep going on. You're never going to be able to do anything about it, and it's going to keep going on, and tomorrow's going to be just as bad as today. That's the lie. The lie is that the power of this problem, the power of this pain, the power of this crisis is greater than God's. It's greater than all the promises. It's greater than anything that's ever happened in your life, and you will never get out of this cycle, and it's just going to be like this forever. Don't you buy the lie. Everything's temporary except God and His Word. And nothing is more powerful than what God said and His promises. And His promise of joy will overcome the sorrow. It will overcome the pain. It will overcome the emptiness that you may be feeling. Hallelujah. If we believe. And it takes a while, I understand, especially in a loss. It doesn't happen overnight. You work it. You start standing on it. You start thanking God for it. You start believing it. You start meditating on it. Little by little, God will fill you. Fill you by the power of the Holy Ghost. He will fill you with all joy. And the sun will rise again. And joy will spring up within. And He'll turn it all around. I believe it. I've had it happen over and over in my life. I know that. And many of you could testify to the same thing. Amen. We're not saying life's not without tragedy. We're not saying it's without pain. We're not saying that things don't happen that hurt. Yes, they hurt. You cut me, I bleed. Okay, I understand that. You hit me, I bruise. You hit me enough, I'll hit you back. But anyway, I only have to turn my cheek one time, is what Jesus said. And after that, hey, all bets are off. But now, having said that, I can heal again. You can heal again. Amen? you can come out of whatever it is that you're in. Joy can come again and visit you again, because joy is the serious business of heaven. Joy is what this kingdom is about. It's what God fills us with when we really believe, we really trust. First Peter 1. I don't know about you, I'm getting excited. Good stuff, amen? I want to pursue this. I want to believe this. I want to be a model of this to others. I want others to see this on me. Hallelujah. I don't think people buy into what you have to say if you're just down in the dumps all the time and you're sad and depressed and, you know, and you don't seem passionate and excited about what you're trying to tell them, you know. People don't just buy into what you say, they buy into you. And if they don't believe in you, they're not going to believe what you're saying. I know a lot of people probably have a pretty good message or maybe something that is worth listening to, but you know, you just can't get past them. Are you with me? You know, you think, oh, man, I don't mind hearing all that. I just don't want to hear from them. So we've got to model this. We've got to have this in us. We've got to be people of joy. Why would someone want to get saved? Why would someone want to turn their life over to God, your God, over to Jesus, your Jesus, turn their life over to Christianity, as it were, what you are a Christian, when you're sharing something with them, when you have no passion and you have no joy, and you look like you've been eating persimmons. Are you out there? I mean, you have to believe yourself. You know, I believe. I've been lost. Oh, I'm so glad I'm saved. I've been without God and without hope and without help in the world. I'm so glad I've got help and I got hope. Hallelujah. I believe in what I minister. I believe in what I preach. I believe in what I'm sharing. I believe it's helped me over and over and over. And if you could just get a hold of this, I know He'll help you too. I know He'll do the same for you. I've been there. I've heard. We've all heard. I've been there, you know, in despair. We've all felt that. I've been discouraged. I've been dismayed. Come on. I'm in the world just like you. But I know God has gotten me through this. And God has come through with His Word, and He cannot lie. And He's not a man that He would lie to the Son of Man. He'd repent. He'll do exactly what He says, and He is crazy about you. He's crazy about you. If you'll just open up, if you just put your arms wide open, here I am. Lord, with arms wide open. I know this. I know this. He's been good to me. He's touched me. And I know He'll touch you. You know, and I want Him to. I want you to get it. I want you to see it. I want you to come out of that. People don't, they don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. You have to genuinely be concerned about people in the sense that you want them to get better, you know. You know, part of ministering to somebody, helping somebody, is just having a desire to help them. Yeah. You know, having a genuine compassion. Yeah. You know, I think about this church. I come down here not just because I'm called. Of course I'm called. Woe be unto me if I don't preach the gospel. But I really have a concern. I have a care about you. I hurt when you hurt, and I rejoice when you rejoice, and I get excited when y'all get a victory or something happens in your life. And that's the way it should be, and we all should mutually do the same thing. I know you do too. I appreciate all your concern. My father passed away. You know, I got a lot of texts and calls and people telling me. And that's right. That is right. We should mourn with those that mourn and rejoice with those that rejoice. We're family. But see, there's a caring here. There's a concern here. We love each other. We're not here to hurt anybody. We're here to help you. Amen. And there's a spirit here of making all of us. We all want to be better. We all want to be a better example for Jesus and a witness, you know, to the world that we live in, that circle that we, our friends, our relatives. We all want to impact our community in some way, form, or fashion, and we are making a difference. No question about it. And I think one of the things that we need to always consider and think about is joy. Well, those people down in International Outreach Church, they just got joy. I'm telling you, they're just always happy. They're always up. They're always excited. I hear that a lot about our church. I really do. I said, those are just the fact. I'll hear people say, well, you know, I met so-and-so goes out to your church. Boy, they're just so, they're just such good people. They're just always so friendly and, you know, joy. Joy. That's what it is. It's the power of the Holy Ghost on us. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 1, y'all found it? Okay, 1 Peter 1, notice what it says. 8th verse, whom having not seen. This is interesting because Peter's talking, he's seen Jesus. But he's talking to people, some of them that didn't know Jesus when he walked the earth, but now they have met him in faith, just like we have. We've met Jesus in faith. We haven't seen him in the natural. But he says, whom having not seen, you love. And I do. I don't know about you, but I love Jesus. Yes. I weep at his feet. I worship at his feet. I love Jesus. Real men love Jesus. I know a lot of times we're so macho, we're men, we don't like to say things like that. I love Jesus. Well, I want to say I love Jesus. You know, it doesn't sound, you know. But real men love Jesus. Okay? And I don't mind saying I love Jesus. Real men pray. Real men stay faithful to their wives. Oh, hallelujah. Come on. Real men do that. See, it's not a sign of manhood to have a bunch of women and or I mean, the kids are in children's church. I'm just telling you like it is here. I tell you what, a real man stays faithful to his wife. It's not to say you hadn't sinned and repented. I mean, but if you married now, you stuck, okay? You be a man. I'm talking to men. You be a man and you be faithful to your wife. That takes a real man to do that. Let me get off that. Okay. It says here, whom having not seen, you love. I love Jesus. I love Him. Whom having not seen, you love. In whom now you see Him not, yet believing, you rejoice. With joy unspeakable. Woo. with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now, why would I rejoice when I can't see Jesus? I just read about him. You know, it was 2,000 years ago when he walked the earth. I didn't see him, but I assume those people knew what they were talking about. But I'm going to tell you, by the power of the Holy Ghost, by the power of God, the Holy Ghost, touching my heart, revealing his truth to me, I accepted him one day, years ago. He changed my life. I love him, and now I rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. But there it is. There's believing again. Here's some more common ground. We just read that the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing by the power of the Holy Ghost. Well, here it says, whom having not seen you love, in whom though you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. I mean, how do you explain someone having a glory fit? How do you explain somebody, you know, shouting and hollering and getting all excited about the Lord and just fall out? Just, I mean, to get so excited they just fall. I've seen that happen. There's nothing wrong with that at all. I have no problem with that. Maybe that shakes you up, scares you. You're going to be nervous when you get to heaven. There's a lot of shouting in heaven. I know every service is not like that. I understand that. But if somebody gets excited and woo, and just falls out, man, I think that's just awesome. I think it's wonderful. I'm just believing for more of that. I mean, I think that's great. Sometimes we want to be too cool, you know, be dignified, you know. And I think we ought to be orderly, don't get me wrong, but I believe in the power of God. I believe in joy. I've had it happen to me. I've prayed, you know, just me praying and just been overwhelmed with the joy of God. Just laugh and rejoice and just hold my stomach because I'm laughing so hard just because of the joy that God just touched me. Something come alive to me. He revealed to me or showed me something he'd done and how he'd taken care of me and blessed my children and blessed my family. I don't always cry. Sometimes I rejoice and, you know. But it's overwhelming when you think about the goodness of God. And when you believe, well, believing will cause you to rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Maybe you're in a mess or in a crisis. Well, get in faith. Start getting in faith. Start believing God and his promises, and joy will come again. It'll overwhelm and push out the fear. It'll overwhelm and push out the despair and the dismay and the discouragement. I mean, joy will just take over. Hallelujah. Woo! You know, you don't have to turn to it. Deuteronomy 28:47. This is interesting because in Deuteronomy 28 chapter, the first 14 verses talk about the blessings of God that come on us as we hearken diligently to his voice and keep his commandments and do that which is right in his sight. And it lists all of them, the first 14 verses. It said, he said, blessed shall you be you go in, and blessed shall you be when you go out, and blessed shall be in the storehouse and the fruit of your basket in your store. And it just lists over and over several things that he will do for serving God and listening diligently to his voice and keeping his commandments and doing that which is right in his sight. It caused the rain to come down your land at its season and make it the head, not the tail, above only, not beneath. And all that happens because we're serving the Lord. But then he says, if you do not serve the Lord your God and do not keep his commandments nor hearken to his voice, but go after other gods to serve them and worship them, surely these curses will come upon you. And he lists all these things that will happen from not serving God and not going after him. And it's amazing. He says in the 47th verse, if you write notes, 28:47, he says, because you serve not the Lord your God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things, these curses will come upon you. Wow. God doesn't like it when you have Eeyore Christianity. You know what Eeyore Christianity is? You ever watch Winnie the Pooh and then Eeyore, you know? How's it going, Eeyore? Not too good. Well, come on, let's go get some honey out of this tree. Well, there'll probably be nothing but bees when we get there. Everything's negative. He's just down, you know, and it's hard serving God. I'm all alone. It's no fun going to church. But I go. I go because I have to. You know, I mean, it's just down, no joy, no, you know, we should have joy serving God. And he's listed, it's pretty strong, some of these curses come because you don't serve the Lord with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Well, I don't want to be there. I don't want to be that person. I want to serve joy with God with joy. I want to be a joyful person, joyful Christian, because that is the will of God. This is training ground. We're going to have to get used to joy because that's what heaven's about. That's what the presence of God is about. It doesn't mean we don't have serious times. It doesn't mean we don't mourn with those that mourn. I've covered that. But for the most part, we should be people of joy. That should be something that we're identified with, that people see in us as Christians. And we've kind of got the idea that a Christian, of course, in the past, and we've often seen this portrayed on movies and so on and so forth, that they're just serious, they're down on everybody, they're against everything, hello, they hate everybody. I mean, if you say you're against homosexuality, that means we hate homosexuals. Hey, I don't hate homosexuals. I don't hate homosexuals. If they will repent, I'll take them. Come on, bring them to the church. I don't hate lesbians. I don't hate adulterers. I don't hate liars. I hate the sin, not the person. Every saint has a past and every sinner has a future. We don't want to go through the crowd here and just find out what all y'all did before you came here, you know. You don't want to know what I did before I came here. Hello. We got to separate this. We're Christians. We're full of love. Now, yes, we stand for what is holy and righteous and just, and we are against homosexuality and we're against adultery. We're against abortion. Yes, but not the person. And I think sometimes the world knows more about what we're against than what we're for. They don't realize we're for the person. And we're for life. And we're for health. And we're for victory. And we're for marriage between a man and a woman. Come on, somebody. Don't ever forget, marriage is something God started. And he started it between a man and a woman. Marriage is not something man started. And it's not something man can define. Marriage is defined from the Scripture. God is the one that started marriage, and it was between a man and a woman, and so shall a man leave his father and mother, cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one. It was Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Okay? There's no legislation, there's no political powers, there's no populace or population can redefine that. That was God's deal, always has been God's deal, and always will be God's deal. Period. So, got that off, okay. But do we hate people? No, we love people. We're for people. Come on now, that's not... Come on, none of us are perfect when we got saved. I don't care what anybody's done. If they'll get saved and repent, come on, bring them. I don't care about their past. I'm concerned about their future and where they're going, hallelujah. Let's let the past go and let's go forward, amen? Hallelujah. Let's serve God with joy. Serious business of heaven. Joy. The kingdom of God, joy. Amen. By believing, I can have joy. And if I'm going to serve God right and do it his way, not my way, then I'm going to have to serve him with joy. So you better look like you're enjoying yourself, whether you are or not. God wants you to act like you're enjoying yourself serving him. So go out and have some fun serving God. Amen. Are you with me? And that's what he's trying to tell us. We ought to... You know, it's not supposed to be glum and woe is me. No. Hallelujah. Look up. Praise God. Your redemption draws nigh. You got reason to rejoice. And when you think about the Lord, makes me want to shout.